All right, welcome to the Free Stretch. I am Bobby Fenton. We are coming to you here in week six as we get ready for the Bucks and the Cardinals on Sunday. And we are through with the proverbial first quarter of the season. We came to you last week, of course, a game day edition of the Free Stretch with the Thursday game against the Patriots. That game in the rearview mirror now, but still got a lot to talk about involving that, involving the game ahead in Arizona and everything else. So thank you for joining me today or tonight or whenever you happen to be listening to this podcast. I am Bobby Fenton here on JoeBucksFan.com. And first of all, before we go any further, just some quick thoughts on what happened on Thursday, because the main thing I want to stress right now, and we say it every week on this show, no matter what has happened, is not to be reactionary. It's easy, especially in football. I mean, football is the type of sport where there's so few games, and there's only one a week, and you want to react. I mean, every time you see something, you want to say, oh, this is how it is. So when they win, you want to believe, oh, this is how good they are. They're this good. They're going to go this far. And when they lose, oh, man, you know, they're not that good. We were foolish to ever think they were going to be that good. You know, that's how it is with football. Baseball, something bad happens, well, the next day you go right back out there. Whatever. Hockey, a couple days maybe. But football, you know, feels like the fate of the world hinges on every game, which is one of the great things about it. But it's important not to get too caught up and remember that it's the fourth game. And I don't know what's going to happen the rest of this season. I don't know what we're going to be dealing with around Thanksgiving or around Christmas or around New Year when the regular season is ending. I don't know what the lay of the land is going to be by then. Nobody does. But what I do know is that this game against the Patriots, and really this entire time of the season right now, is going to feel like ancient history, whatever it is. So we got all excited when this season started out about how good the Bucks were going to be, about how this year was going to be different, about how they'd made these additions in free agency, about how the defense was ready to take a big step forward, how Jameis Winston was ready to take a big step forward in year three, and on and on and on. And all those things could still be true. But they had a week early schedule. We thought they should beat the Bears, and they did. We thought they should beat the Vikings, and they were hammered. And we thought they should beat the Giants, and they did just barely. And this was the first real road test you felt like, okay, the Patriots game, measuring stick. Now, before the year started, we thought this was, oh my gosh, the Patriots. I mean, the Bucks will be lucky even if they are 3-0, and even better than we thought they'd be. They'll still be lucky to win a game like this. And then after seeing the first few games of the year, the Patriots didn't look all that unbeatable anymore. And we talked about on Thursday how the Bucks could absolutely win this game, and then the game happened on Thursday, and you know what? They really absolutely could have won that game. But it still felt like your first, like, hey, are you just decent or are you ready for prime time? It felt like that kind of a test, and the Bucks didn't pass it. So now I've been reading things on the internet and in the papers about how the Bucks aren't quite ready for prime time and how they're just not good enough. And yeah, you know, they're decent, but they're still a cut below. A game like this proves it. This was the acid test. And again, I don't know what's going to happen down the line here. It might be proven to be true. But it's one game in week four. Even granted knowing who the opponent is. And I actually don't think the Bucks were all that bad. I mean, their offense let them down a little bit. Jameis let them down a little bit. He's still missing on balls that are there, that if he can connect on, it's going to completely change the complexion of this offense. It's going to completely change the complexion of the perceptions that we have of this offense. I'm not saying they were awesome the other night, but I don't think they were that bad. And that's a Patriots team that I know hasn't looked great early, but they're going to be around in December, and they're going to be double-digit wins. I'm still pretty comfortable saying. I could be wrong, but I still feel pretty comfortable saying that. So to go out against a team like that and look as good as they did in many facets of the game and go toe-to-toe and hit those guys in the mouth and come up just short. I mean, the Bucks didn't play very well on offense at all. I mean, they were very poor offensively. And they had the ball in their hands inside the 20-yard line with a chance to win the game at the end. And it's a testament to how well the defense played. The defense did a phenomenal job Thursday night. I mean, that's Tom Brady. I know they didn't have Gronkowski, but that's Tom Brady. You know, they've got Cooks, they've got Amendola, they've got all their guys, Edelman, whatever, you know. Not Edelman, but I mean, those guys, you know, that's a big deal. It's the Patriots. And even missing a couple of guys, it's still studs. And the Buccaneer defense held them to field goals every time it looked like, hey, the offense just, went, you know, another three and out, the third down conversions were terrible. Here we're going to punt it back to him. Brady's going to take it downfield, make him pay for it, put the game out of reach. And every single time, the Bucs defense either got the stop outright or held him to a field goal, kept him at arm's reach. Every time. I mean, that was a really impressive performance by the defense. And we were all over them after the Minnesota game and how poor they were and everything. You know, I told you this in one of the other shows I did. This is how the NFL works. You can't base anything week to week. Nothing carries over. Every week is its own week. But and they were missing Brent Grimes when they had the game in Minnesota, and they had a lot of injuries, and they still have some injuries now. They've had them the past couple weeks, but they did a really good job. And this is a Bucs team. That's the kind of game you look back on in December, and you say, hey, you know what? Maybe these guys were pretty decent after all. And when the Patriots are 12-4, what are they? They got two losses. Now they'll probably end up 12-4, maybe 11-5. They've certainly got issues. They're not perfect. They'll lose a couple more, but they're good, okay? And the Buccaneers were right there with them. Now, the whole Nick Folk thing, obviously, at this point, we don't need to get into anymore. He's gone. Pat Murray, who's using some sort of a medium-type thing now, something with, like, sorcery and having seances and stuff. I don't want to, you know, I don't know. I don't care. Whatever he's got to do is fine, but, you know, I'll say this about Nick Folk real quick. Because the Bucs, you know, you don't know how the game goes. You could say, oh, the Bucs win if he just makes one of the other field goals because then they kick another one to win. If you make one of those field goals, then the rest of the game changes. If we have those field goals made and let's say we're leading or down by just a field goal instead of a touchdown, you know, maybe the Patriots are different on their drive. Maybe they call different plays. Maybe Brady has more of a sense of urgency, on and on and on. You can't go back in time and change one event and leave all the events that were behind it the same. So I don't know what would have happened. Obviously, Nick Folk very possibly cost him the game. And we've talked about the Bucs kicking situation going all the way back to Connor Barth, and actually going all the way back to Matt Bryant. And not just how shaky it has been, but Joe on his Twitter feed made a reference to this, how terrible the evaluation has been. I mean, of all the positions on the field, bad decisions get made and good decisions get made all the time. But it's amazing how really blatantly bad decisions the Bucs have made at kicker over a long period of time, over a variety of general managers and all. It's just amazing. Like, and Joe, I don't have the exact tweet in front of me. I'm paraphrasing it, but he tweeted the other day when they were still bringing kickers in before we knew it was Pat Murray. And he said, Bucs will be bringing in five or six kickers, whatever it is. The question is, who are they bringing in to evaluate the kickers? He's right. That was as much in question as anything else. I mean, we don't need the same people making decisions on the kicking game that made the prior ones, because they've all been bad. And they've all been made in favor of better kickers that we let go. Over and over this has happened. So it's kind of amazing. But now that it's said and done, you know, everybody's favorite guy is the next guy. I like Patrick Murray when he was here. He did pretty well. Again, the Bucs moved on from him. He got hurt, and they moved on really kind of hastily and brought in a crappier guy. We'll see if he still has it. I've been retweeting things from Patrick Murray's Twitter feed about him drilling 55-yard. You see, and this is easy to do. A lot of kickers could do this. You see him tweet a little home shot video of them at some local high school field somewhere hitting a 55-yarder. With the little kicking tee holding it up, the little PVC pipe kicking tee. And that's great. I mean, that's phenomenal. It's obviously not the same as game situations. I'm sure Nick Folk has those same videos somewhere. And I'm sure Roberto Aguayo did too. I know he did, because he was a super leg. But the kicking game's going to have a microscope on it the rest of the season, no matter who it is. And there's even been allusions to the fact that Murray may not be the last one. So that was a big deal in the game on Thursday night. And it obviously cost him. But we could dwell on that all day, all night, whatever. The point of the whole thing was, it's a tough loss. Bucks really probably should be 3-1 right now. But nevertheless, I was actually encouraged overall by what I saw. Because the Bucks have been on that stage before when we were hoping they were pretty good. Not knowing, but hoping, which is still where we're at with this team. And they've just gotten just slobber-knockered, just beaten like a drum. And I'm not into the whole moral victory thing, that's not my point. But my point is, a loss in Week 4 isn't going to derail your season. And if you look at what the Bucks actually did against the Patriots, I think they can be pretty good. As disappointed as I am at what was left on the table, I think they can be pretty good. If they can figure out on offense, if Jameis Winston can get things going, obviously DeSean Jackson made a big play for him late. They still are kind of trying to force it to him early in the game, it seemed that way, which you shouldn't be doing that just to appease one guy. And I'm not saying Jackson demands that or that he's a bad apple or anything, but I just mean, you know, it'll happen naturally. And it kind of did there late in the game when the Bucs were driving and in a hurry. Cameron Bray had a big touchdown drop that preceded a Folk missed field goal that was huge. And he had a couple other drops too, but he also had a hell of a catch on the touchdown that brought the Bucs within 5. And, you know, Mike Evans wasn't at his best, didn't see much of him the other night. Those things will come and go. Defense did a great job. And this is a game against Arizona coming up now. And you look, and I've watched Arizona a little bit this year and have been completely unimpressed with them. And one of the best ways you can really get a feel for a team, not that I'm encouraging gambling, is you can watch games and say, I'm going to evaluate this team and just sit on your couch or even watch the All-22 on NFL.com or whatever you want to do. But to really get a feel for a team, you have to be invested in them. Now, the Bucks are the only team I'm invested in. I'm a Bucks fan, but I also like to, as the great Chris Thomas used to say, make some short-term investments every weekend in the gambling markets. And I've had money on the Cardinals a couple times this season, and then you're watching them where you really need them to do something for you. And it's if you ever want to really get a feel for a team, I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be a lot of money, just enough so that you care. Just bet on a team, then watch them, and then you'll feel like you know them, all right? The Cardinals are not very good. And this is a game, and I know it's going out west, which always adds an extra element of something, but you're coming off a tough loss to a really good team. They happen. Then you get the game against the weaker team the next week. Home, road, neutral, whatever, doesn't matter. You need to go out and win that game. You need to go out and win that game. This is not an offense that scares you. Larry Fitzgerald's great and everything, but, you know, Carson Palmer, the whole thing with the company, it's not working real well. Having watched them, it's not working real well. And so, with all that said, I have high hopes for this weekend. I fully expect the Bucks to come back 3-2. Lavonte David back at practice. Quan Alexander back at practice. You got a few things starting to break your way with the injuries now. And while I'm not going to jump ship or anything, no matter what happens, the Patriots game was a very forgivable loss. Still a loss, but a forgivable one. But if they lose this one, it's kind of one of those if you are what you say you are type things. Like, okay, didn't work out against the Patriots. That's Hall of Fame level opposition in a lot of places there. And they still had a great chance to win the game at the end, came up short. Hey, fine, whatever. But if you are what you say you are now, go beat these Cardinals. I mean, this is a game, this is a team the Buccaneers should beat. This is a game the Buccaneers should win. Now, I want to tell a quick story about Thursday night, just for the hell of it, because it was quite an experience for me. Now, I do this podcast for Joe Bucks, man. It's a lot of fun. Those of you that have known me a while know I used to work at a number of Tampa Bay radio stations. I did used to do a show at 6:20 on the weekends, which I had a blast doing. Before that, I worked at 1010, which then went on to become 98.7 later, and has since now dropped the sports format. But I did a show there in the afternoons for a few years, and I actually did 5 hours at one point from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., just me, solo, and got my start working with former Buccaneer Scott Brantley, who a lot of you may remember, some of the old school fans, back at the old 1470 days. You know, this is going back into the early 2000s. When I was in my, I did all this in my 20s when I really didn't know what the hell I was doing, and now I'm in my 30s and I actually feel like I have more of a handle on things, and I don't do radio anymore. It's funny how that works. But point is, I've had a media credential for a long time with the Bucks through all that. Before I had a media credential, I had season tickets. And I had a streak of going to every single game at Raymond James Stadium from before it was built, going back to the Sombrero in 1997 is when I started getting my season tickets. I was 17 years old. I was in high school. I had my first car, a Pontiac Grand Am. And me and my buddy Drew Carter realized that year, you know, because we used to love going to Bucks games when our parents would take us. And that year was my senior year of high school. And we said, you know what? We have cars now. And the tickets were like $180, I think we paid for the set of 10 for one season ticket each. So I used my summer job money and we said, you know, we can just go to all the games now. Like, we don't have anything stopping us. So we got season tickets that year. Long story short, I ended up going to every single Bucks game from 1997 all the way through 2008. Missed one game in 2008, and then the streak kept going all the way. I think it was 2011. So I went to something like 122 out of 123 of the first games at Raymond James Stadium the Bucks ever played. That was what I did, whether it be through season tickets or the media credential. And then I dropped the season tickets a few years ago because they were getting to be more and more expensive, more and more prohibitive. And then, of course, when I stopped doing radio, I no longer have the media credential either. I am Joe Bucks fan, just like the website says. I'm just a regular guy who goes to the Bucks games when I can, but I don't have anything special, no special treatment. I'm not up in the press box. I'm just like you. And I don't go to all the games. I have two children now, 5 and 2. It's hard to go to all of them, but I go to a handful. So Thursday night, and my wife is a fair-skinned, freckled type. You know, she's got that whole fair skin thing going. She doesn't like 1 o'clock games in the blazing sun with the skin cancer risks and everything like that. She's not a big let's sit in the sun for 4 hours type person. But she'll go to a game late afternoon, especially after daylight saving time. And she'll go to a game at night for sure. So I saw this as a great opportunity. I said, let's get a sitter. Let's get the kids to, if we get the kids to bed by 7:30, they're 6 and 2, or at least get the 2-year-old down and get the 6-year-old close and the babysitter can finish the job. You know, we can just head down to the stadium. I live about 10 minutes from Raymond James Stadium in South Tampa. Let's just park the car for $5 in the old neighborhood right there, east of Himes, and let's just walk around and just see what happens. So that's what we did. We drove down there, and again, not holding any tickets or anything like that, just a little bit of money in our wallet. I was going to see if I could buy a couple. Now, if you go on these websites, they have the NFL Ticket Exchange. You got StubHub, all this stuff, which I mean, I would never buy tickets off these things. You were seeing tickets for $200. I mean, again, it's a week 4 regular season game, and I was not going to do that. I said, I'll walk around outside, and if I can find a pair for $100 total, $50 each, I'll do it. And if not, no harm, no foul. So it ends up taking a while to get the kids to bed, a little bit longer than I thought, which who would have known, right? So we get down to the stadium at about 7:45 for an 8:25 kickoff. But that's okay, because a lot of times the best deals you're going to find are right before kickoff anyway. Now, you never want to deal with a scalper. Those guys, first of all, I don't know who to trust anymore. There's so many things with the counterfeit tickets. And second of all, they're just not good value. The scalpers are there to make money. That's their whole idea. Well, I don't want to make money for somebody. I want somebody to sell me tickets because they have to go inside and their buddy didn't come and they just don't care anymore. That's how you find the deals. So I'm looking for regular people. And in the past, I've had tons of success doing that. They've changed things nowadays. Now the season tickets are a card instead of a series of tickets. If you have season tickets or if you've ever had them before, do you remember how it used to be when they'd send you this beautiful shimmering booklet of 10 tickets every year in late July, early August, and you'd get your tickets in the mail, and it was always one of the best days of the year. It was like Christmas morning. You'd go to your door, you'd see the package there, sitting there against the door, or maybe it was in your mailbox, and it was all these, like, bound tickets in this little booklet, and it was just, oh, the smell, the fresh ink, and you were like, oh, man, this is awesome. I used to love that feeling. Every ticket had the opposing team's little logo on it. You could look at all 10 games. Now it's not the same. You know, we get these swiping cards. We're using our cell phones. Now they're scanning our cell phone. Give me a paper ticket, man. Give me an object that I can use or give to somebody else. Don't tell me, oh, you want to sell your ticket? Here, we'll just email it to your butt. No, I want the ticket. So what that's done, and this is what they wanted to do, is it's killed the secondary market. They don't want people, even if the ticket's paid for once, buying that ticket again. They want that ticket under their control. So you either buy a new ticket for the game or you buy it through them on the secondary market and they get their little cut of it. And I get that's what they're going to try and do. So, you know, the old school days of walking around with two fingers in the air outside the stadium, hey, I need two. And then you'd see somebody else who had two and they'd actually hold the tickets up in the air. Hey, I'm selling two. And hook it up with that person and making the exchange. You know, that's not how it works anymore. It's one of the, you know, technology and everything has improved our lives a great deal in many, many aspects. But that's one of the ways it sucks. Because I've been to so many games, and I'm talking about not just I'm talking about national championship games, not just Bucks games or Lightning games or Rays games, but plenty of those too. But all the way up to national championship games, playoff games, you know, you name it. World Series, when the Rays were in the World Series, ALCS. I can't tell you how many of all those types of games I've been to, all where I woke up the morning of the game with not a ticket in sight, and I just got it done outside the stadium in the hours leading up to it. I did that so many times, and you can't do that anymore. It's really hard now. Almost nobody is selling tickets anymore. It's all done online, and it's all done with 17% surcharges, and you go, Ticketmaster, StubHub, this, that, and the other. It's just bullshit is all it is. But that's how it is now. But you know what? It was a nice night last Thursday. I said, let's take a shot here. Even if we don't get in, I don't care. I'll come back home. I can be back home within minutes watching the game before it's even halftime. And the weather was beautiful. I mean, walking around out there before the game, it was so nice. So we start walking around. First person we run into is this drunk 20-something blonde girl in a royal blue tank top with Pat the Patriot right in the middle. She's hammered. Stops my wife and I. She didn't even have tickets. We were just walking by her. Like, grabs my arm and she goes, you look trustworthy. I need your help for a minute. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, what do you need? So it turns out she was actually a square person. She just, you know, she was a little messed up that night. But she was one of those computer people, had the Ticketmaster ticket on her phone and couldn't get into her email, couldn't punch the password. You know, she just wasn't quite all there that night, and she needed me to help her get her ticket off her phone, off her email, so that she could get in the game. She'd already paid for this ticket. So I like to help people, and even though she had the Patriots tank top on and everything, she was really nice. I mean, it was nothing, you know, I like Boston people. I'm not one of these people that rips Boston people just for being from Boston, if they're nice. And she was nice. And so we helped her out. It ends up literally taking 25 minutes to get this. Even I couldn't do it. This is another thing I hate about the computer stuff. Like, okay, she's drunk. I thought I'll just grab her phone here and she'll help me out. She's giving me her credit card number. She's giving me her passwords or email. I mean, everything. She didn't care. She just wanted me to help her. And I did. And I'm punching all this stuff in and it's locking me out. Then we tried too many times and it like froze everything up. Finally, we go to the customer service window and they're like, oh yeah, everything's completely messed up. Ticketmaster website, blah, it's all that. And they got it figured out. So we blew it. At this point, the game's already started. We blew any chance we had of walking around and getting tickets with spending time on this girl, which I'm not upset about at all. I was happy to do it. And, you know, she did get in the game, and I hope she had a good time and got home safe and everything. But the point is, after that happened, my wife and I start walking back to the car. And we came upon a tailgate with, like, I mean, there was like 50 people at this thing. And it's middle of the first quarter, almost the second quarter at this point. So these people weren't, like, just late getting in. They weren't going in. And this is a huge tailgate on the corner of Himes and Tampa Bay, right there on the corner. And they had the flat screen set up and watching the game. And, you know, I said, let's watch until halftime right here. This is really nice. And we met some people. These are hardcore. These people had, like, capes on with Bucks flags and all kinds of food, kids running around and playing. It was the most college football atmosphere I can remember at a Bucks game in quite a while. And it was on a weeknight. And so we stood there and watched, and you could hear the roar of the crowd. I mean, the stadium was right there. You could actually almost see the Jumbotron from where we were and watch it that way, but we had the TV. I'll tell you what, I bonded with some fellow Bucks fans and had a great, I mean, I had a blast. And we would have liked to have gone inside of the game. It would have been great, but to save a little money, still see the game, and do that was really cool. And It's not something I would do necessarily again on a Sunday at 1 just because it's 8,000 degrees in the shade and it's just not the same experience, but that was a really cool experience. It was really cool to get back in touch with Bucks Nation. I hope you guys did the same thing. We talked about it on the show last Thursday. I said, hey, call a buddy up. Say, come over for the game. Don't just shut yourself down in your house and watch it solo. You know, use this as an excuse to get together with friends. These primetime games are a different animal, and they're a big deal. And as disappointing as it was with the Bucks not pulling it out, it was a great experience. So we've got another one coming up way down the line. Also at home, though, and it's a Monday night, and it's going to be a time of year when the weather really should be nice. Might even be a little chilly. Who knows by then what it'll be like against Atlanta. But for now, we're back after this week with the 4 o'clock kickoff being out west. After that, it's the familiar refrain of Sunday at 1 o'clock for the foreseeable future. And either way, I'll just say this to close things out. Again, don't worry about this team yet. If they don't do what they're supposed to do on Sunday, I'm going to get a little worried then. This is a game they're supposed to win, and it's against a team they're supposed to beat. But even though the schedule early on was weak, and it's going to get tougher now, and it is. I mean, that, you know, you would have liked to have been 3-1 after that first quarter, as they say, of games, the first four games. And they're not. They're 2-2. And even though the NFC South is looking a lot tougher now than it did before, I mean, before the season, we're all, you know, okay, Atlanta's Atlanta, but we everybody else in the South, we got them licked, man. It's going to be us and Atlanta just duking it out. Well, now, Carolina ain't half bad. And I guess we shouldn't be that surprised. It's not like we thought they'd be terrible. And the Saints, whose defense is still bad, I don't think the Saints will be around in December, but even they're 2-2 just like the Bucks. It's a tough division. It might be the toughest division in the NFL. And the Bucks have all those games coming up, and they've also got a lot of other tough teams coming up. Nevertheless, this is a good team. This is a team that showed me something Thursday night, and you know, if Nick Folk doesn't miss what he missed, we might be having a completely different conversation right now, even making all other things still as equal as they are. Offense needs to get going. Obviously, Jameis Winston needs to get going. I'm a little concerned about that, but again, he's going to continue to get better. And in the meantime, I think we're in for a show. I still do. I really still do. I mean, 2-2, if you had told me before the season they'd be 2-2, I wouldn't have been completely floored or anything. I was hoping for 3-1, but it's not that bad. And the defense really did show me something Thursday night. If this kind of defense is what we're going to have on a most-of-the-time basis the rest of the way, the offense will score, okay? They will. This is a good offense. I remember tweeting before the season started. It was during one of the preseason games, which they didn't even do that well in the preseason, but I remember tweeting, they might not punt once the entire year. I was being sarcastic, obviously, but I still believe it's a really, really good offense, and now we look like we have a defense that at least has the ability to rise to that level. But if they lose to Arizona this weekend, and it's a tough, I mean, look, they should beat Arizona, but what is the line? I think it's like a close to a pick'em. It's within a field goal either way, you know. I said this against Minnesota. Oh, wow, that seems low. I love the Bucks. Bet them hard. And then you saw what happened there. So if the Bucks are your favorite team, and if you're listening to this, they probably are. You don't need to bet on them anyway. But I like the Bucks again this weekend because I think they're a really good team. I think they're going to be ready to take a big step forward after the loss. I think the loss against New England helps them here. The long week obviously helps them. And so if they don't get it done in this situation now, then you can start saying, hey, wait a second. This isn't what I was expecting. This isn't what we signed up for. This is not the Bucks team I thought we were going to have. I'll be saying that too on the podcast next week if that's what happens here. But we're not there yet. I'm very optimistic as of right now. Thank you to the Joes for hosting this podcast on Joe Bucks Fan. Thank you to the Dunedin Pirates who, by the way, start practice next week. And if you want to play football, I'm talking about real football. I still do, and I'm not talking about flag football over at your local rec league. This is a league, 18 and over, NFL rules, full pads, teams in different parts of Florida. It's a 16-team league. There's a couple Tampa teams. There's a bunch of South Florida. There's like six teams down in South Florida. There's Orlando. There's Jacksonville. and we travel all over the state. It's Bradenton. We play. Five home, five road. It's a spring and winter season. We start in January, and it goes 10 weeks through April. Either email me, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com, or hit me up on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. You can find me on Facebook. The name's Bobby Fenton. I'm an easy guy to get a hold of. Or just go to the website, DunedinPirates.com. We play all our games at Dunedin High School. It's a blast, dude. If you played football before, even if you never played football before, but especially if you played before and thought you were done, thought you had hung them up, thought you'd pulled those pads over your head for the last time, doesn't have to necessarily be true. And we're starting practice, like I said, next week, but it's no, you know, you can come in and join it. We have a preseason game in December, and then we play after that, starting the regular season in January. Get on board, or come out to a few practices and see how you like it. No commitment, just check it out. Trust me, it'll be a blast. As far as the professionals go, though, they'll be in action Sunday with the Bucks and Cardinals. Go Bucks! I will talk to you next week. And you never know, there's always a chance. I almost did it last week. I can always call an emergency free stretch. There's no rule from the Joes that I have to publish a podcast only on Thursdays. You know, after the game on Sunday night or Monday, I can say, you know what, I got to say something, and we can put another one up. And I may do that. We'll see. But in the meantime, be safe, have fun, go Bucks. That is the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com as we enter week 6. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.